Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Mark, I know you're a biker, but I also know that occasionally you can be found out there on the golf course. Is that right?
Yes, and I've had the occasional golfer's elbow or tennis elbow or, you know, actually I tend to get tennis elbow playing golf, so go figure.
Well, okay, let's see if we can dissect that a little bit. The lateral epicondyle of the elbow is the bony origin for wrist extensors, while the medial epicondyle is the bony origin for wrist flexors. Pain at the myotendinous junction of these muscle groups is often referred to as epicondylitis. To get specific, lateral epicondylitis is often referred to as tennis elbow. Medial epicondylitis is golfer's elbow. That's what Mark's talking about. So even though he's a golfer, he tends to get lateral epicondylitis. The incidence of either of these, you know, is about 1-1.5% in the general population, with lateral, the tennis, more common than medial, the golf. Interestingly, smoking, obesity, middle age, meaning sort of 45 to, I shouldn't have called it middle age. Okay, so it would just the age group 45 to 54 and repetitive movements that last at least 2 hours a day often are risk factors for developing epicondylitis. Now, I must say that I'm wondering the smoking. I mean, smoking is a risk factor, it seems, for everything. But in this case, I wonder if it's not the smoke and the temperature and the nicotine and the tar, I wonder if it's just bringing the cigarette up to your mouth every single minute. Anyways, in terms of treating this, there's lots and lots of treatments. A systematic review of 54 prospective randomized trials for the management of lateral epicondylitis revealed a wide range of treatment options. However, there was little advice supporting any one particular approach. The reason is that most of these trials had significant study limitations. We've talked about some of the limitations of combining studies in the past. They include inadequate study design, small sample size, etc. Now, initially, most experts suggest that limiting repetitive motions, perhaps using counterforce bracing, NSAIDs, and physical therapy all seem reasonable and end up with some positive outcomes. When these don't work to reduce pain, the next steps may be imaging and perhaps more invasive therapies, which brings us to this week's poem. This week's poem, chosen by Mark, was from JAMA, 2013, volume 309, begins on page 461, and it asks the question, are corticosteroid injections effective in the treatment of lateral epicondylitis? Mark, what did they find?
Yeah, this is probably the best long-term study of this question. There have been a number of similar studies that either didn't have the number of comparisons we're looking at here in the number of groups, either or smaller studies, or only followed patients for a fairly short amount of time. So this is really good stuff. They took adults who had lateral epicondylitis, or epicondylalgia, as they call it, you know, pain in that lateral epicondyle, and they had to be symptomatic for at least 6 weeks. And there are 165 patients. They got into one of four groups. And this is what we've described before is what we call Latin square design, where you've got two different interventions, and people could either get both, one, or neither. And they did their best to mask things. And obviously, the physical therapy was one of the interventions. You couldn't mask that. The other intervention was a steroid injection along with a local anesthetic. So patients either got both, one or the other, or neither. And the physical therapy was 8 30-minute sessions for an 8-week period, focusing on what they call local elbow manual therapy and exercise. And the patients had standard pain and function scales. They didn't know whether they got the active medication or not. They did know, obviously, whether they got the physiotherapy or not. They had really good follow-up. 99% of the patients were still in the trial a year later. And so what they found was that short-term, if you looked at just compared steroid versus saline, there was a much better short-term improvement, 71% versus 10%. But when you compared injection versus saline injection or steroid injection versus saline injection plus physical therapy, there was no longer any difference. So short term, the physiotherapy and the injection were pretty similar. At 1 year, though, if they didn't get physiotherapy and they did get a steroid injection, they actually had worse outcomes. So the steroid injection without physical therapy helps you in the short term, but probably hurts somewhat in the long term at 1 year. They were at increased risk of pain recurrence, 54% versus 12% in the saline group. And there was no difference if you just compared the physiotherapy versus no physiotherapy comparison. There really wasn't any 1 year long-term benefit. So, you know, bottom line is that steroids can provide some transient pain relief, but then you risk worse outcomes a year later. And the physical therapy seems to also be beneficial, but again, no clear benefit a year later.
Interesting. You know, it is a serious problem for patients that are involved in these activities. You know, any excuse perhaps not to play the sport, and we're all trying to push people to be more and more active. And it can be very painful. I mean, I've had patients that have really been quite despondent because they haven't been able to get their tennis or their golf or whatever. And it's exactly the kind of thing, both for their physical health but also for their mental health, that we all want them to do. So, yeah. Anyways, this is.
Well, let me tell you, I have struggled with this, and really I'm convinced that the important thing is changing what you're doing in the activity that's, you know, basically mechanically incorrect. And, you know, there were things I was doing in the golf swing, similarly probably in the tennis swing or in whatever activity it is, that where you were either over-rotating or gripping the club too hard or, you know, doing something wrong. And when I thought about that and worked on that over time, you know, it gradually did improve. And I really haven't been troubled by it since I've actually become somewhat better and don't slash and hack away at the ball quite as much as I used to. So
maybe what you're suggesting is that in addition to a physical therapist or some sort of a medical expert, something simple as a coach who can watch you do what you're doing and make suggestions.
Yes, we need a third arm, which is golf lessons versus no golf lessons.
Exactly.
I'm serious.
It makes a great deal of sense.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll go get some golf lessons and some tennis lessons, and we'll talk with you next week.
All right, sounds like a plan.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.